News. Welcome to Up Front on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I want to thank you for joining us on the show today. For those of you who want to catch up with our previous episodes, remember to check out our website at voanews.com. We are also on all social media platforms, so be sure to connect with us on there too. Now, we continue our conversation on how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected every aspect of life on the African continent. Almost a year into the pandemic, the economic impact, some due to the lockdown restrictions, continues to affect every sector of the economy, and more so the creative economy. Africa's creative industry, the arts, culture, technology, and others, including our cultural workers, musicians, artists, and many others who make a living by selling tickets or performing to audiences, are not able to do so due to social distancing restrictions. And one of the solutions, as advanced by some researchers, is for communities to use technology to develop strategies where creatives can use all these different forms of new technology to interact with their fans, whether it's in forms of online portals or platforms to allow musicians and artists and performers to engage with their audience, things of that nature. Now, our guest today on the show is way ahead of the game on this. As an artist and innovator, Derek Ashong, who first appeared on this show over 12 years ago as a member of his band at Harvard University, known as Solfege, has turned his passion for music and technology into a social venture, AMP Global, which is a tech startup that builds communities, mainly young people, around content. He tells me that his company is revolutionizing the telecom and media landscape in Africa by empowering artists and their fans to earn mobile data and to discover and amplify great content. Derek joins me from Mauritius.
So basically, we built a technology that enables you to be rewarded for discovering and amplifying and elevating the most amazing new talents, music, comedy, film, whatever, anything. And we built a show around it. We built the technology first that rewards the audience for their discovery of great content. But then we built a show to showcase it. We call it Take Back the Mic, the World Cup of Hip Hop. And that blew up and it was amazing. It was so cool. And then after a while, we realized like, wait a minute, there's an opportunity to take this to a whole different level. So we were considering, are we going to take this project and create the Mic Asia or the Mic India or the Mic Africa? And so I was going back and forth, building all the partnerships, trying to figure out what. And ultimately we realized like, we would do all of them. But the first one would be the Mic Africa. And that is why we moved to Mauritius.
The homeland, the motherland.
Oh, Charlie, you know. That's where it started. That's where everything started. So, of course, we have to
and
come
then,
home.
And the symbolism of Mauritius, you know.
You know? It's right? And so we basically land on the island, and we're like, well, this is Africa and Asia, and we're perfectly located to do what we got to do in both.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been beautiful.
So let's talk about that technology. What is this technology and how are people getting rewarded for discovering artists?
So it's super fresh. The app itself is called Take Back the Mic. You can check it out, takebackthemic.com. That's takebackthemic.com. And you can also, you know, Google it, look it for it in the App Store, look it for it in the Google Play Store. It's all in there. And basically what it does is it's like based on a gamification engine. So when you watch content, when you amplify or share to your community what an artist did, you get points and they get points. And what happens is it enables you to rise through rankings and charts on a regular basis. Like you could be an artist that has just got a dedicated fan base and they reppin', and you're going to jump up on a chart and other people can discover you.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we've partnered with some really cool companies to provide mobile data as the reward in each of the countries where we are building partnerships.
So as a user, the more you use it to discover artists, you know, there's a reward for you that you get data.
Yes, exactly. Like ultimately, there will be a series of different kinds of rewards. The first one, we're like, people want to be online. People want to be connected to each other.
Bridge that digital divide on the continent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we've created a model for ad-supported mobile data. And unlike a lot of these, you know, ad-supported models, they're zero-rated, whatever, and it's all about come and use my app. In our case, you win a data reward, you can use it anywhere. You can use it to get online and watch YouTube, go on Netflix, check out your computer science program, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. So we're really rewarding the audience for their taste and their taste making by giving them something that's of real value.
The Mike Africa is this new project you've embarked on.
Exactly.
We will get to that. But okay. I was very much interested in really understanding how your journey, you know, after, you know, almost 10 years since you last appeared here on Upfront, what happened to Skullfish, your band, how your musical journey brought you to Mauritius 10 years later, you know, since you last appeared on Upfront. Obviously, now we know that it's, you know, it's this company that is, are you still in the startup phase, would you say?
We're still very much in the startup phase, but we are like an accelerating startup, and we've got maybe a lot more senior people than most early stage startups, but we're still a startup for sure.
All right, so let's take it back again to for our listeners. I know we do have a little more time, but we don't have a lot of time, but I want people to understand a little bit about you. If people had asked you, you know, tell them about yourself, where your heart is more, is it music or technology at this point?
Wow, bro, that's a great question. I mean, it's hard to say, like, the music is just in me. Like, literally, I play music, sing all the time to this day. I still write the whole nine. What happened is I had kids. And it got to the point where I had my baby, my first baby was in 2010. Mm. And she was born. I took a month off just to be with mommy and baby. And then I went back on the road with the band. Bro, I was gone for like 3 days. I flew back. I picked them up and I took them on tour with me. I was so like, oh my God. And I realized, I was like, yo, I love music. It's in my heart and soul. But I want something different. I want to be with my family. Now, the irony is, I went and started doing more stuff in media. So I did a radio show for Oprah. It was dope because it was like radio, but it was video before people really doing live streaming. We launched it at Sundance Film Festival with John Legend and these cats from the Fugees and the whole nine. It was super fresh. Then I got recruited by Al Jazeera and I did a TV series for them called The Stream. Then I did some stuff for BET. Then I went and did some stuff for ABC, Disney and Univision. And basically I wound up scaling these sort of multi-platform media assets to 300 million households around the world. So now all of a sudden I'm like not just a musician or a producer, but also an expert in interactive media. Mm. That was a great experience. I got to do stuff for the United Nations, UN Foundation, you know, UNAIDS and Alliance of Civilizations. I got to like really connect and have powerful conversations about how the future of technology will shape the future of culture and media and society. But long story short, I'm looking at all of this. I'm like, wait, I don't even know who's watching any of my content. And I started thinking, isn't there a better way to build a relationship with the fans? And so I got with some friends from Harvard and some friends at Google, and we said we're going to build a solution to our problem. And the stuff that I was studying in grad school when we first met, ironically, all that research around open source content, open source software, open source culture, that research in school became what I built the company on.
Let's talk about that the Obama moment that went viral before viral was actually a thing. Take us back to that day over a decade ago when you become part of this national conversation at the time. You know, I think part of it was to counter that part of the narrative that black people supported Obama because he was black. Take us back to that just so we can get a little snippet so people can understand who DNA is at the core, at the heart.
No doubt. So, I mean, basically, that was a crazy experience. In a nutshell, I had a coffee with a friend of mine. We'd actually gone to vote earlier that day. And we voted in the primary early in LA. This is in Hollywood. And we went to vote at like Norwalk or whatever. So we come back, we had coffee. She wanted to go to, this rally outside of the debate, which was going to be Obama, Clinton, and John Edwards, but he had just dropped out. So it was going to be the first debate of just Obama and Clinton. And it was at the Chinese Man Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. I was like, okay. She's like, yo, you walk me to the drink? I was like, yeah, I'll walk you. It's all good. So I walk over to the place. She's like, do you want to come and kick it? I was like, I don't really want to do all this, you know, politics. It's cool, but there's so much drama. I have things in my life. But I was like, but we get there. And I was like, yo, it's kind of lit. It's like a big festival. Everybody's out there talking this yin yang. So I was like, okay, I dropped her off. Actually, I drove her. I dropped her off in the car. I went back and I parked in my office, which is a few blocks back where we were at. And then I walked back. I was like, okay, let me just check it out. And we're hanging out. People giving us signs. See, Sip, where that? See, Sip, where that? It was dope.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? Yes, we can. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes up to me. And there were actually a few people came up to me that day with cameras. But one of them was aggressive. And he started grilling me. I'm like, well, what do you know about Obama's healthcare plan? Why do you support Obama? What about the healthcare? What do you know? And he was just asking me all these detailed questions. So I'm like, oh, you like to talk?
Did he know?
it was supposed
to be like a gotcha type of moment.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that man on the street, and they always ask people questions. And then they're like, well, And I was like, I don't have a in my head. Like, let's talk. You want to talk about this? Let's do this.
Break
so we just
started
chopping it up. You know what I'm saying? And the more questions he's asking, the more we're conversating. And a lot of people get like, yo, like, why are you pressing me with these hard questions? And they feel funny about it. Whereas for me, I'm like, ask me anything. Like, if there's something I want to talk about, then I want to talk about it. And I've been thinking about this all day. And yeah, we could break. So people saw it and they see me in a, you know, a hoodie and a baseball cap, young black dude. And this dude is grilling him.
He's grilling you.
And it was like the flip of what was expected. Cause everyone's trying to be like you said, they're supporting Obama cause he's black. And I'm like, come on, like we not that simple.
That's the moment that we'll leave.
But really though.
Yes.
In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. On the show with me today, coming in from Mauritius, is Derek Ashong. He's the founder and CEO of AMP Global Technologies. His digital media platform is powering the first of its kind music competition format that is born on the continent of Africa.
Let's move again a little forward. I think one of the things that happened to you, I guess professionally, is that there was a time when your name and Beyonce was also mentioned, you know. I'm thinking to myself, like, a third culture kid from Ghana, you know, your video was trending or your music was trending behind Beyonce in your home country of Ghana.
That's right. So the video, I mean, the top five at the time, it was like R. Kelly, Usher, Beyonce, and then us. And so we were like all shocked when it happened. And that, you know, it's so funny because we started making music in school. Then we started out afterwards and apprenticed with a professor at Berklee School of Music, studying how to arrange and write and produce the whole nine. And then we started performing and we'd be trying to reach out to the Boston media outlets, trying to, you know, get a little article, a little radio play, whatever. They're like, no, we don't even know you like that. So interestingly, when we went back home to Ghana and we did that Sweet Mother remix, that thing blew up back home. Then it got picked up on like Channel O, Mnet. Then it got picked up in like, what was it? BBC World Service, RETV in Jamaica. So next thing you know, we in like
We played it on VOA.
You guys represented, yo. Y'all showed us mad love back in the day. You know, that was the early, that was the beginning of all of this. So at that point, we all of a sudden are airing in like 60, 70 countries. Then all of a sudden the Boston media is like, hey, can we do an article? And we're like, oh, it's finally. So next thing you know, we are in like Centerfold Spread in the Boston Herald. We are on a local area stations and the radio and everything. So that is how the musical career kind of went from amateur to professional. And it kicked down a lot of other doors, which ultimately led me into the media overall.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when we talk about that moment, it feeds into a larger moment where African music has increasingly become a dominant force in global culture, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know, I guess my question to you, as a person who's been around for a minute in this industry, aside from social media, what would you say is responsible for this moment? And I guess most importantly, how can we capitalize on this moment?
This is a very good question. So for me, obviously social media has been big because it enables people to transcend borders and to share and exchange ideas. Also, we have a lot of Africans in the diaspora who are interested in and trying to stay connected to their homelands, and technology has made that possible. It's not just the social media, it's also the mobile revolution. And so what's happening is you have stuff bubbling on the underground back home, and then it starts getting picked up by the people, the homeboys or homegirls in diaspora. And then their friends are like, well, what are you listening to? And then that starts to expand. Mm. And frankly, Africa has got such a wealth of musical talent. You know what I'm saying? We always have. But now we have mechanisms for getting it out there that are beyond the traditional mainstream media. So I think that the opportunity on the continent is about to explode. And part of the thing I'm interested in is, as I mentioned, this mobile data rewards, right? Like, so when the lockdown period started with this whole COVID situation, you know, internet usage worldwide went up 70%. Africa was flat at like 7% 4G penetration. Why? Because we have to pay the highest, you know, mobile data prices in the world.
Right.
Okay? So we're looking at like, okay, well, our platform is built on a gamification engine, and we can reward you based on the level of your engagement. So we just decided, why reinvent the wheel? What worked for making a massive, scalable media technology? Radio and TV. Why did they work? So all you did is buy the box. The content came for free because it was supported by ads. Right. So we built an entire technological and economic model for ad-supported mobile data. And my work right now is to scale that across the continent to get everybody wired with rich media, 4G plus mobile telephony. Mm. Because once we do that, it's not just that stuff can blow up on the continent and then be leveraged into diaspora. It's that stuff can blow up on the continent and it's a market unto itself.
Absolutely.
There's 1.3 billion people.
Absolutely.
Right?
And then, so then my question is to you then, is then what is the role of these, global record labels like Universal, Sony that are signing on these, successful African artists like, say, Tiwa Savage, I think was last year or this early this year signed on to Universal.
Yeah.
The question is again, who needs the other? What can these big media global record labels bring to the table right now for an African artist?
Listen, I think that we're about to see the new gold rush on the continent on many levels, right? The arts, music, you know, culture and creative industries is just one of them, but it's one of the most important.
Mm.
And when people talk about resources, they want to talk about, you know, bridges and development things and good governance, transparency. I'm like, we need to talk about culture.
Absolutely.
Culture determines what you do. Exactly. Mm. And culture determines what you do with the resources that you gain and who benefits from them. So what I would say is when we think about the labels and all of this, it will be a new gold rush in our industries as well as in others. And what's going to happen is you're going to have the big labels coming into the continent. We've already seen it. And they're going to be looking for the top talent. And hopefully they can help some of that talent to scale worldwide. I also think that they're going to be labels that are indigenous on the continent. Because it's a different world, you don't need to be paying for physical distribution. It's a digital world. So there will be indigenous labels and indigenous management and promotional companies and technology companies that will have the ability to take artists and level them up to a global stage. And so it's going to be very, very interesting. And ultimately, I think all of the above is good for the ecosystem. We need the major labels to be in the mix. We need the indie labels in the mix. We need the indigenous companies in the mix. We need the global companies in the mix so that there's more opportunity for African creatives to be heard and to earn a living and build cultural capital, not only for themselves, but for their culture, for the continent, worldwide. So I'm optimistic in that front. I think that the artists got to be careful who they sign with. Some of these deals are not as sweet as they appear to be. But at the end of the day, the more people are in the game, the more opportunity there is for everyone.
In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. On the show with me today, coming in from Mauritius, is Derek Ashong. He's the founder and CEO of AMP Global Technologies. His digital media platform is powering the first of its kind music competition format that is born on the continent of Africa.
We've been under lockdown, at least in the U.S. Other countries have started reopening. Part of the U.S. has been reopening. But I know that African artists, like in America, also, globally, artists are struggling, due to the pandemic. Let me ask you about how this new project you're working on helps, these artists that are, who have not been able to perform, their revenues have gone down. How is this going to help them connect with their audiences and most importantly, to monetize their art? Because I think at this point, many of them, the struggle really is being felt in the pockets.
Struggle is deeply felt in the pockets. And the way we look at it is the Mic Africa is an opportunity to change the game in terms of how we think about content on the continent. So, for example, if you ask people, like, what's the hot stuff on the continent, they're going to tell you, oh, Charlie Bibi Naija, you know, Big Brother Africa, X Factor, Real Housewives of Johannesburg. I'm like, all right, this is all good, but, you know, this all came from the outside in. Like, where's our indigenous format that took our cultural perspective and values out to the rest of the world? As far as we can tell, it's never happened. We've had shows, we have movies, we have records, everything. But a format, like, where's our X factor? We haven't seen it. So that's what we built with the Mike Africa. It's a model where you can actually, it's part travel show, part music competition, and you can actually take artists and look at the world through their eyes. Let's discover the streets of Nairobi. Let's discover the streets of Lagos or Johannesburg or Accra. You know, Mauritius, Kigali. Let's discover them through the eyes of the hottest up-and-coming talents. And it's not just like a rap competition or a singing competition. MCs, singers, dancers, graffiti artists, everybody is in the mix. It's all about urban youth culture, and it's beautiful. What we're looking at is how do you not only, you know, scale somebody up and give the winner a cash prize or whatever, but also have the community benefit. Like with this season of the Mike Africa, whichever country wins, every user on the platform from their country is going to get a free mobile data reward, right? To just kick off this whole digital inclusion campaign to take Africa from 7% to 70% high-speed mobile internet penetration and access by the end of 2025. We call it 70 by 25. Now, in terms of the monetization, okay, obviously the winning artists get something out of it, but the fans and the other artists continue to get those mobile data rewards as they engage. What we do this year is just the kickoff. This is going to keep growing and growing and growing. And I can't say too much more.
Everything is still in the works.
But let me say this. There's a value in that mobile data. And when you think about monetization, there are ways to do it that you won't see on the traditional social media platforms. Mm-hmm. And that is where I think we're going to have a very big impact.
I feel like also plus connecting the artists with new audience, you know, creating that relationship with them. That's quite important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when does the Mike Africa launch?
So the Mike Africa, you know, we just finished shooting. It's been crazy because, you know, COVID, like a lot of production, most around the world has stopped or slowed down at least. For us, we didn't miss a beat. We just finished shooting in 6 countries, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Rwanda, Mauritius, South Africa.
So when you talk about shooting, that means you've been shooting some of the artists that you've chosen. So you selected.
Oh yeah. So the audience selected the artists, and basically there are 3 artists. We thought we were going to get like 100 people to register and, you know, let the audience help us pick like the top 18, 3 for each of the 6 countries. Instead of 100 artists, we got 1,200 people registered.
Whoa.
Dude, more than 1,200. We were all shocked. We were like, yo. We were so excited. Then we were shook. We're like, we ain't really anticipate all that.
1,200.
We went for 100. We got 1,200. And it's still only 18 slots. So it was mad competitive. The artists who were selected are amazing. I'm so happy about them. They're really wonderful.
How many are they all together?
They're 18 total. So okay. 3 from each country.
It's not just musicians.
I'll tell you, in Kenya, it's like 3 MCs. A female MC came in number 1, and then 2 brothers came behind. Both of them are amazing. Then in Nigeria, it's 2 MCs and a singer, and she's more of like a reggae singer. In Mauritius, it's 1 rapper who raps in Creole and French, and 2 dancers. One is a b-boy, the other is like more of street shaman. And then like in South Africa, it's 3 women. The first time we've ever had one country represented exclusively by women. And they are incredible. 2 of them are singers and MCs, and 1 is also a guitarist, and then the 3rd is a vocalist. And when you see their stories, you just be shook. In Rwanda, Chale, it's like 1 MC, 1 graffiti artist, 1 dancer, like really representing the culture. And then in Ghana, we got a singer, we got an MC, and we got a graffiti artist. So it's hip hop culture.
And you did not select anybody. They were selected by somebody else, right? The viewers, you know, the more they get, they got, I guess.
Exactly. When people watch and share, the person, I get points when I watch and share, but so does the person I'm watching and sharing. The artist scores, I score. So we said to the audience, you select the top two from each country. We have a wild card where we pick the third one. Mm. Most of the countries, the third one, they was just the person that they had already picked. And a couple of the countries were like, yo, let's try something different. But most of the artists were completely selected 100% by the audience, which is very special because even the artists that we picked, they had to be in the mix. They had to, you know, make a certain amount of waves before we would even know who they were. And so it's been an incredible journey. And when you see, so part of what we did, we realized that the COVID thing could mess up travel a little bit back in February. We didn't realize the scale of what was going to happen, but we were nervous. So we started building teams on each, on the ground. So we had, we have three Academy Award submitted producers on our team.
Wow.
And when you see the storytelling, bro, I'm so excited. I have never seen African youth culture represented with so much beauty and heart and realism. It's just, it's very, very powerful. It's very special. Definitely. And December 6th, it goes on live. I mean, we partnered with like the biggest media companies in the countries that we're going into, in most of the countries. And so we've got a lot of distribution. We're going to reach about 100 million people. We're going to make a statement about the future of, youth culture across the continent.
And is it a one-day event? Is it a month-long event?
It's a month. It launches December 6th, and the finale is on January 3rd. And y'all will get to decide. Every week, there'll be two countries that are debuted, and the audience will decide who, and this time it's 100% the audience. We don't even participate. The audience will decide who will represent each country, which of the three artists will be the number one to represent their country on the global stage. And then the finale event, you'll get to see all of them. And decide who goes home with the golden mic and the prize. And the country all gets the data. We all win together. It's going to be so cool. But the thing is, when you see it, you're going to be like, yo, B, it's so much fun. And it's so cool. And it's powerful. And I keep saying the word beautiful, but it matters to see yourself, to see our culture, to see our homelands and our cities represented with artistry.
Yeah.
The artistry of the creator, of the musician, the dancer, the graffiti artist, but also the artistry of the filmmaker.
Yeah.
Because every story is told. If it's a Kenyan story, it's Kenyan filmmakers. If it's a South African story, South African filmmakers. Like every story is told by somebody from the ground, and each artist has a different eye, each filmmaker has a different eye in telling the story of the artist from their hometown. It's really cool.
Ayo, ayo, ayo. This is DNA from Take Back the Mic, representing on the radio with my man Jackson. Ayo, this is Up Front, baby. One time, right here, taking back the mic. One love to all of y'all. Peep the tune.
And with that, we come to the end of our show today. I want to thank Derek Ashong, the founder and CEO of AMP Global Technologies. He called in from Mauritius. The island of Mauritius. I want to thank you, our listeners who are tuning in, whether you're on FM, shortwave around the world, around the African continent. Some of you are listening in online on our podcasts, on our different, on the various platforms. I want to thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Remember to connect with us on our social media platforms. Until next time, goodbye, Africa.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.